It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we continue our look at this season's Texans opponents with our colleagues in the Locked On Network. Time to talk about the Super Bowl champs, and we're about to find out from Locked On Eagles host Louis DiBiase if they can repeat as champs this year. Welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, along with my co-host Brian Patterson from Fansided's HouseofHouston.com. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans podcast, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're happy to be joined by Locked On Eagles host Louis DiBiase. Louis, what's it like for the first time in history to go into a season with the Eagles as defending champs?
Oh, it's a dream come true, especially, you know, I live for training camp and just watch the play-by-play, even though preseason and training camp, it's not the same as the regular season, but I live for it. It's like Christmas morning, but it makes it even sweeter because they finally did it. They finally won a Super Bowl. So it makes everything five times better. And when things go bad with the team, it makes it just a little bit better than what it would be if they didn't get that ring. So just putting that ring on this city just seems like it has totally changed the culture and changed the vision of the team and the mood. And it's just so upbeat from what was a fan base that people really saw as, like, you know, the pit of the NFL. Suddenly they're all happy. There's no stress about anything. It's a great time to be an Eagles fan right now.
Like the Texans, the Eagles spent the offseason hearing reports about their quarterback's health. What's your concern level right now for Carson Wentz?
Yeah, it's interesting. We both got young quarterbacks who tore their ACLs and are coming back from leg injuries. But if you didn't know that Carson Wentz was injured and he didn't have that knee brace on, right now, looking at him on the field, you wouldn't know he's injured. He's that far along in his rehab. And it's impressive considering the injury he had, the severity of it, when he got injured at the end of the regular season. The fact that this guy already is being cleared, he's been appearing in 7-on-7s, and throughout training camp this week was already in 11-on-11s. It's miraculous the work ethic that Carson Wentz has had to come back from this injury. And if I had to predict right now, I don't think there's any way this guy is not playing week one against the Falcons. I don't know if he's going to get a lot of preseason work, but the way he's cutting, I mean, Chris Long yesterday pressured him. He rolled to his right and threw on the run, and it looked like he was not restricted at all. So it's incredible. And I honestly think he's going to start the regular season off. I don't think we're going to see Nick Foles.
What did you think of the addition of Houston's own Michael Bennett to the Eagles equation?
I think it was a huge get, especially considering, you know, they lost Vinnie Curry, who had led the NFL last year in QB hits. You know, it didn't result into sacks, but Vinnie Curry was a huge part of that Eagles pass rush, really, that front four that was one of the best in the NFL. So they had to get that contract, though, off the books, especially with drafting Derek Barnett 14th overall. But they still needed more pass rushers. Jim Schwartz likes to use at least three or four guys that he rotates through, and Michael Bennett is perfect for the defense, and the Eagles love versatility. Bennett can play not only on the outside, but he's also a guy in Seattle that played a lot at defensive tackle, and the Eagles are going to need that versatility with the lack of depth they have inside with Timmy Jernigan injured. It's just really fun to think about, you know, with Michael Bennett there, man, if they move him inside with Fletcher Cox, and then you have Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham on the outside, that is as scary a front four as any NFL team can put together. So getting Bennett was a huge add, especially considering they had to move on from Vinnie Curry.
The subtractions are not really a ton when you look at it. Tight end Trey Burton was the big one. The additions, guys like Haloti Ngata, Mike Wallace, Corey Nelson. Some people think the Eagles are better than they were last year. What do you think about the other additions and you know, kind of equaled out, or do you think the Eagles actually got better with what they did?
It's true, really. The only person that the Eagles did not replace after losing was nickel cornerback Patrick Robinson, but they already had so much young depth at corner that they didn't want to pay too much for Robinson to come back. They do have Jalen Mills still, Ronald Darby for at least one more year, Sidney Jones, who's coming back from that torn Achilles. He was their second round pick last year out of Washington. He probably, to me, would have been a top 10 pick last year if he wasn't injured. He looks healthy right now this summer and ready to go. He's been getting the first team nickel snaps. So you just look at the roster and it's like, yeah, it's hard to say that they're better than a team that just won the Super Bowl, but they upgraded from Torrey Smith to Mike Wallace, running back right now. Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and Darren Sproles to me is a better trio than what they had last year in the regular season. It's like, you know, with a team that has as high a payroll as the Eagles do, the fact that they didn't really lose anything and their roster almost looks better is an absolutely incredible feat. And they're bringing back, it's not just the guys that they added. You know, I know they lost Trey Burton, but you bring in Dallas Goedert in the second round. He reminds me a lot of Zach Ertz. But it's not just that. It's the guys that they brought back from injury, too. You know, the all IR squad last year was basically a Pro Bowl lineup. Jason Peters, they're getting back at left tackle. Jordan Hicks is one of the best inside linebackers in football when he's healthy. They're getting him back. And then, of course, Darren Sproles and Carson Wentz. So it's strange to say that this 2018 team could be better than the 2017 title team. But honestly, that's on paper right now, they are more talented this year than they were last year.
Man, that's scary.
It is.
Texans fans watched one of their former players win a Super Bowl with you guys last year. I want to get your thoughts on that player in a bit. But first, Brian, tell us a little bit about our new sponsor, Nordic Track.
Yeah, I'll be happy to talk about that, guys. Now, fellas, we know it's sometimes hard to find the time to go to the gym. We've all got a busy schedule, so we're all in this together. But if you need the motivation of a trainer or group class, but that's so time-consuming, it can be costly, don't you ever wish that the gym could come to you? Well, Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength trainers. You can join the high-energy stream workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure that you meet your fitness goals. Special offer for Locked On Network listeners, including Locked On Texans. You get $75 off your Nordic Track purchase by visiting NordicTrack.com/LockedOn and using the offer code Locked On. Again, that's NordicTrack.com/LockedOn and use offer code Locked On during checkout to save $75 off your purchase.
Money. You need it now, later, and much later. Do you know if you have enough money to last as long as you do? Find out for free. At Edelman Financial, you can get a free retirement review from our experienced financial planners. To get your free retirement review, visit edelmanfinancial.com/LockedOnTexans or call 1-866-PLAN-EFS. Helping you and your family. Advisory services offered through Edelman Financial Services, LLC. Securities offered through EF Legacy Securities, LLC. An affiliated broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC.
These days, bringing a drug to market is getting tougher and tougher. At Syneos Health, we're changing the game. The result of a merger between INC Research and Inventive Health, Syneos Health is a company purpose-built to create biopharmaceutical acceleration. By allowing the clinical and commercial disciplines to work together from the start, sharing critical data, insights, and knowledge, Syneos Health works to eliminate traditional obstacles and smooth the process at every step along the way, from clinical trials to FDA approval, branding and marketing to adherence. Syneos Health is focused on a simple end goal, shortening the distance from lab to life. To learn more, visit syneoshealth.com/podcast.
All right, Louie, I got to ask you about Brandon Brooks because the Texans drafted him in the third round but made the decision not to re-sign him after his fourth season. Next thing we know, he blossoms into a Pro Bowl guard, plays a key role in protection for you guys last year, and has some not so nice things to say about Bill O'Brien this offseason. What's your take on what happened to Brooks in Philly?
Yeah, Brandon Brooks is an awesome story, actually. And yeah, he didn't have rave reviews about Bill O'Brien, and I think a lot of Eagles players are lashing out about other cultures because they're so comfortable in Doug Peterson's locker room. And it's really what I love about Peterson is that he lets the players set the culture and just let it, you know, this, let them embrace it, that this is their team. And I think Brandon Brooks really appreciates that in Philadelphia. And his story is awesome, though, because last year when they first brought him in 2016, he was battling with anxiety issues that left him in and out of the lineup at the end of the year. And that's an issue that really is a serious one in society, and Brandon Brooks is an awesome face for that. And I think overcoming that adversity and having an all-pro 2017 season is just something that's been incredible to watch. And he's really one of the unsung heroes of the entire roster. Of course, offensive linemen don't get the high praise that skill position guys do, but especially with him, because he's on an offensive line that has two of the best tackles in football in Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. And then Jason Kelsey had one of the best years a center's had in a long time. But Brandon Brooks, get this, has not allowed a sack. The sack was not his fault since week one of 2016, his first game with the Eagles against the Cleveland Browns. Since then, he has not let a pass rusher get to the quarterback. That's how good he has been. And honestly, when we talk about Zach Martin, really, he's the big hyped up guy, is one of the best guards in football in the Dallas Cowboys. But Brandon Brooks is right there with him, and the Eagles just had an absolute find in free agency bringing him in, and now he is one of the best offensive linemen in football. He is an unsung hero of this Eagles team, and the fact that they have that right side shored up is just a really good sign for them to continue to compete down the road, and Brandon Brooks is a huge part of that.
Ugh, that's terrible. It just makes us
it hurts.
Makes us cry a little bit here.
Exactly. And you know what, Louis, I've got a question. I've got a few questions for you, actually. But the first one, you know, that comes up to my mind is that you've lost your offensive coordinator in Frank Reich. He is now the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. You've got Mike Groh, who has been promoted from the wide receivers, stable. He's now the offensive coordinator. Do you see any continuity to the offense? Are you going to see some things changed up? How much of a loss is Reich to the Eagles?
Yeah, obviously it is a big loss. Frank Reich was a huge part of how the offense came to be one of the best in the league. And it's not just him. They also lost John DeFilippo over to the Minnesota Vikings. Our quarterback coach is now the offensive coordinator with the Vikings. So that's also a big loss. But I trust that all these guys, including Mike Groh, were involved in the game plan on offense. So I do expect that the continuity will continue. I think the offense will, as long as Doug Peterson's the play caller, I think the offense is going to continue to be that aggressive, versatile offense that it's been over the past few years. I mean, because really, they can air it out if they want. They can go to the ground. I think they're going to continue that aggressive mindset of, you know, going for it on fourth down. And I think, you know, it is a hard loss losing those two guys. Those guys did wonders, not only for Carson Wentz and the offense, but also Nick Foles, who ended up becoming Super Bowl MVP. And a lot of it was because of the coaching staff, how strong that they've built this offensive coaching staff. But I'm confident in Mike Groh. I think the way he elevated the offense last year, especially at the receiver position, is something that I'm confident in with him and Deuce Staley still. You know, working with the running backs, I think Groh here again, he already had his hands in the offensive game plan last year. So I'm confident that as long as he's there, Doug Peterson's there, the offense, of course, it's going to take a hit losing those coordinators, but I don't think it's going to show that performance wise on the field. I think the coaching staff is still very strong when we're talking about offense.
Ultimately, you guys won the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the ultimate prize, but there's room for improvement everywhere. Where do you think that you guys were weak last season that you guys could improve upon, and have you made any strides toward it?
I think linebacker is a spot that they need to get better at, and mainly it was just that they got to get healthy there. You know, Nigel Bradham was one of the best coverage linebackers in football last year, but after they lost Jordan Hicks, you know, Michael Kendricks had a pretty good season, but outside of that, they could only really run two linebackers. A lot of the time, Malcolm Jenkins was actually playing linebacker. He played more linebacker snaps than he did safety. So I think linebacker depth is something they need to get better at, especially on the Will side. Right now, they're running through in training camp. It's kind of an open competition between some young guys and Camus Grugier-Hill, Nate Jerry, young guys that have good coverage skills. So I think they need to get better at the linebacker side. And then really outside of that, I would probably say defensive tackle. I think outside of Fletcher Cox, you know, Timmy Jernigan's hurt right now. Ken Haloti, not a stay healthy. That might be a position right now that the Eagles are exposed at, because Michael Bennett's going to play a lot of interior on pass rushing situations. But when he's not there, outside of Fletcher Cox, the Eagles are going to have to rely on young guys like Destiny Viau, Elijah Qualls. This is a defensive tackle group right now that, if God forsaken, if Fletcher Cox ever went down, the Eagles are in some serious trouble. So I would say there's not a lot of weak points for this roster. It's one of the deepest in football. But if I had to choose two right now, it would probably be linebacker and defensive tackle, where I think they could use a little bit more depth. And of course, hopefully we see these young guys produce in the preseason so they don't have to go out and get anybody. But again, if I had to choose right now, I'd probably say linebacker and defensive tackle.
Thank you. And I'd just like to shift gears a little bit. Let's put it in reverse. We're going to go back to training camp a little bit here. Okay. You talked about Carson Wentz and just, you know, the incredible performance that he has. But is there anybody else in camp right now that stands out to you that's doing really well?
Yeah, actually, rookie tight end Dallas Goedert is someone that's really standing out, and he's starting to click with Carson Wentz. And thinking about the possibilities that this offense can use with both Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert in the formation is pretty scary. He's got some really strong hands, and he just seems, you know, he's a downfield threat as well. I don't know, with Zach Ertz and Goddard, this might be one of the best tight end duos the Eagles have had, or the NFL has seen in a while. So I would say Dallas Goedert on offense. On defense right now, someone that I really like that's playing well is Rasul Douglas. He is the second-year corner out of West Virginia. He right now is kind of below, you know, at least three other guys on the depth chart. They're going to use Jalen Mills, Ronald Darby, and Sidney Jones probably to start the season. But I really like Rasul Douglas. I like what he did last year in reserve for Darby when he went down. And I think he's had a strong camp so far. Doug Peterson even mentioned him in his press conference last week, mentioning the strong spring and summer so far Douglas has had. We'll see if he can crack the starting lineup. But I think those two young guys, Goddard and Douglas especially, are guys that I like watching and that I'm going to keep an eye on throughout the preseason. And then one more kind of under the radar player has been Shelton Gibson, who was their sixth round pick last year, also out of West Virginia. He's a burner, but he runs angry after the catch. Last year, he kind of had a Nelson Aguilar type struggle during the preseason and training camp with drops. But, you know, now that he's got the mental side of the game down, he can kind of start using that world-class speed that we saw in college. And that's the thing with receivers is, they can't really use that speed. You can't play fast if you're not comfortable with everything else, with technique, route running, that kind of stuff. Gibson also has been making some big plays so far in the summer. So it's been a lot of young guys, actually, for the Eagles that have stepped up so far, and I'm excited to see what they can do in the preseason.
So with all of that in a nutshell, with all that considered, who's your most improved player for 2018 for the Eagles?
Most improved player. That's a good one. I would probably say most improved player, I'm going to say Ronald Darby. I think Darby is a player that he had a really strong rookie year with the Bills, but then he struggled in year two in Rex Ryan's offense last year. I think, you know, coming off that ankle injury, he started off hot that Sunday night game against Dallas, but then really Jalen Mills was a better corner on the outside than Darby was. And in the Super Bowl, especially Darby, when he gets paired up against bigger receivers, sometimes it's a problem. When they move Gronk on the outside in the title game, that was a problem for Darby. But he looks really good this summer. He's healthy. He gets a full year under Schwartz's defense. They're going to use him in a lot of man coverage situations. And he's in a contract year. This is the thing. Players always play better when they're trying to make their money. And I think Darby's going to try to cash in this offseason. And I think you're going to end up seeing Darby be the most improved player for the Eagles in 2018.
I want to ask you about your coach a little bit, Doug Peterson, and in just a second. But I just want to remind our listeners, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. Please share the links to our show with your followers on social media so we can bring more people to the Locked On Texans party. We also want your voice to be a part of the conversation. So email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com for questions or comments. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com.
This is not a drink. This is the new Cascara Cold Foam Cold Brew. Craft liquefied, delicately smooth. This is the Strawberry Acai Starbucks Refreshers Beverage. Tropics chilled, my afternoon anew. This is the Teavana Iced Peach White Tea Infusion. Steeped, shaken, excited to refresh. This is the new Ultra Caramel Frappuccino Blended Beverage. Whipped cream layers, perfect. And this is your afternoon made at Starbucks.
All right, next thing I got to ask you about Doug Peterson because, you know, we know a little bit about him as the what his positives are as a head coach, you know, just watching what he did in the playoffs. But give us a couple of things maybe that people don't see, maybe didn't see as you were going through the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl that he was doing maybe behind the scenes and stuff like that, that you think other coaches aren't doing. What's made him so special there?
So what I love about Doug Peterson, especially, I'm a believer that coaches should form scheme around the strength of their players. I'm not a fan of guys coming in with a predetermined, this is what our offense is going to be. You have to mold around this. sometimes it doesn't fit the strong suit of what your player personnel is. And that to me is what I love about Peterson, is not only on the field, but off the field. It's all about the players. It's the strengths of the players. It's especially, and not just that, it's the culture in the locker room. It's depending on the type of personalities he have, he lets them own the team and really let them control it. And that's something I appreciate about Peterson. And, you know, everyone knows he's a gunslinging type head coach. He's going to go for it on fourth down. You saw the Philly special on fourth and goal in the Super Bowl. But one thing that he is just really good at, not only his play calling, but it's his adjustments and it's his game planning throughout the week before the game. Nick Foles struggled. When Carson Wentz went down against the Rams, Nick Foles did not have a great regular season. Against the Giants, he threw a few touchdowns, but he was inaccurate. He had a really bad game against the Raiders on Christmas. Didn't play well in that first half against the Dallas Cowboys. The Eagles were pretty worried about what was going to happen with their quarterback in the playoffs. There were even talks that they might move Nate Sudfeld into some first-team reps before that Falcons playoff game. And really, it was Doug Peterson that went back to the film, sat down with Nick Foles, and just tried to make him as comfortable as possible in this offense. He's not going to be the same type of player as Carson Wentz. What does Nick Foles like for the offense? How can we maximize his strengths and what he's comfortable in? And Peterson pulled back some tape from 2013 when Nick Foles threw 27 touchdowns and two picks in Chip Kelly's offense that first year when the Eagles went 10-6. And he took a lot of those plays, a lot of the run pass option, you know, RPO type stuff, quick passes, get Nick Foles in a rhythm, because Foles is a rhythm type quarterback. And Peterson pretty much, you know, just pretty much created a new offense for Foles. There were still some similar wrinkles to what Carson Wentz had, but it was a different offense because of Nick Foles. And he changed the game plan around, and him and Frank Wright sat down with Foles and basically created a new playbook that really Foles would be comfortable with. And you saw it turn into one of the best playoff runs of a quarterback in NFL history against the Falcons, Vikings, and Patriots. So it was just behind the scenes too, in the film room, being able to adjust to his player strengths. And when they're struggling, how does he get them out of that funk? And there was something, it was a masterful coaching job that Doug Peterson had after Carson Wentz went down.
And it's interesting that you brought that up, because it's a similar situation here in Houston with Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, when he first started, you know, he had his system and it was his way or the highway. Right. But as he's gotten into the, you know, the gift of coaching and learning that, you know, your system is not always, you could tweak it a little bit, you know, based off of the talent that you have. He did that immensely this season with Deshaun Watson, and it worked. And that's why Bill O'Brien is still here. Deshaun Watson endorsed him, you know, because as you probably know, he was signed to a 4-year extension with the Houston Texans. So, you know, that really resonates with me. And as far as what you said, similar situation, just wanted to add that.
It's just that, you know, when you look at the jump Carson Wentz had in year two, it's so much of that was because of Doug Peterson. The fact that these guys want to play for him. They love having him as their head coach. And it's that emotional intelligence that the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, talked about wanting to find in their new coach after they fired Chip Kelly. You know, culture is important, and, you know, a coach can't be just letting the players do whatever they want. But Doug Peterson's approach, I think, is the way to go for head coaches. And I think you're going to see a lot of teams trying to copy the Eagles' blueprint, and especially at the head coaching position with Peterson. And the great part of it, too, is he used to be a quarterback. So the Eagles have maximized that position by surrounding it, you know, not only investing it with multiple players at a time, going for Carson Wentz, picking up Foles. You know, they signed Bradford to that extension before because they can use him as assets. But also, I mean, the coaching staff they brought in, Peterson used to play quarterback. Frank Wright was a quarterback in the NFL. You bring in John DeFilippo. Now you got Mike Groh. I love the way the Eagles have constructed this coaching staff, and Peterson's part of that with how he's built it with his, you know, assistant coaches. So it's, the Eagles don't have a lot of flaws right now, and even in the coaching, you know, area. So it's a great time right now for the Eagles.
Any team that concerns you in the NFC East?
I'm not ever concerned about the Washington Redskins. I feel like they're kind of just, especially with Alex Smith coming in, I think they're going to be around the same. The Cowboys, I'm not a huge fan of Dak Prescott. Truthfully, I think they're going to be better this year, of course, because Ezekiel Elliott is back. The team, honestly, I'm most concerned with, it's not really a concern, but if I had to choose one to push the Eagles, it would actually be the Giants. Just offensively, I don't know how you lose a lot of games with the weapons they have on that offense. Adding Saquon Barkley, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is healthy now. Evan Ingram is one of the fastest tight ends in the league. Sterling Shepard's back as well. If Eli Manning messes this up, it really is time to go from the New York Giants. And defensively, they still have a good amount of talent on that side. And I think Pat Shurmur is going to be a big boost to that offense play calling wise. You saw the types of quarterbacks that were playing well in Shurmur's system in Minnesota, you know, guys like Sam Bradford and Case Keenum, players I don't really see are high quality starters in the league, looked like high quality starters in the league in Pat Shurmur's offense. So I think they're going to see a big boost in offensive production with the Giants just based on the personnel they hired or they brought in, but as well as the coach and Pat Shurmur they brought in. So I don't know if any of them are playoff teams, but if I had to choose one right now that's going to push the Eagles, my money's actually on the Giants. I know the Cowboys are the popular one, but I'm going to pick the Giants.
Your record's going to be what?
Ooh, I don't know if they're going to, you know, it's hard to replicate what they did last year. I don't see a 13-3 season again in the books. I'm going to say right now I'll go, I think 11-5 is fair. I think the NFC got a lot better this year, and Carson Wentz, maybe if they do start him week one, which I think is going to happen, maybe he starts off a little slow, has to get his legs going for the first few weeks. Although the first start of their schedule is pretty fair to the team. I'll say around 11-5 is fair. I think it's pretty irresponsible to pick a team to win 13 games in the loaded conference they are. I still think the Eagles are the favorite in the NFC, but I'll say 11-12 wins right now is the range that the Eagles should meet.
If people want to follow you, it's at DBACLOE. And if Texans fans want to find any other information on you, where do they go?
Yeah, so again, follow me on Twitter at DBACLOE. And I post all our content on the Locked On Eagles Network on LockedOnEagles.com. So if you want to get an update on Brandon Brooks, he's going to hopefully continue to be one of the best guards in football, which I'm sure is going to hurt Texans fans seeing that. But it's a fun time, not just for us, but for you guys too. I mean, it's, you know, not having a quarterback. You guys were in that position too for a couple years. Not having stability at the quarterback position is never fun. And when you have not only a really exciting player to watch at the quarterback position, but a young player in Watson and Wentz, knowing that you have so much time to grow with these players, it's a great time to be fans of those teams and to cover them like we do.
Hey, looking forward to it December 23rd. I want to see what these two teams are going to be like when we get there. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Hopefully to talk to you soon.
All right, great. Let's wrap things up real quick. Don't forget, my co-host Brian Patterson's got everything covered on houseofhouston.com, a fan site affiliate. My Houston Sports Talk podcast, easy to find on iTunes and most anywhere you listen to your podcast. Ben Ryder from Astro Ball, the book. You know him from the George Springer Nostra Astros Domus cover where he predicted the Astros were going to win the World Series. He was my guest. That is up and running, so go check that out. That's all we got for this Locked On Texans podcast. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, this is Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and your number one spot for everything San Antonio Spurs. And with the Spurs looking to win their sixth NBA title in franchise history, it's going to be quite a feat considering they're playing in the ultra-competitive Western Conference. Can Kawhi Leonard guide them to another championship? Will LaMarcus Aldridge rise this season off a lackluster second season in San Antonio? Got to find out that and much more on Locked On Spurs. Subscribe at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Alexa, and anywhere else you can find this great Locked On show.
Your company can advertise on the Locked On Podcast Network, and the first thing you'd get is a passionate, connected listener about a team they love. Now, the second part is all data, so here you go. You get an audience that's 98% male, between the ages of 18 and 54, almost entirely. According to Edison Research, podcast listeners are 50% more likely to have a college degree, and 30% of podcast listeners have a graduate degree. So you're reaching a more affluent, a better educated, and a connected audience for your company. We'd love to have you be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can email me, David Locke, at lockedonpodcast@gmail.com. Put your company in position to succeed by working with us, the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one sports daily podcast network. email me, David Locke, at LockedOnPodcast@gmail.com.